everyone to the Sister Stories podcast. The aim of this podcast is to marvel at God's sovereignty over each of our lives as women and to encourage one another by sharing our stories. My name is Sophie and today I'm joined by Mandy. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. So Mandy, can you start by telling us who you are?
My name's Mandy Booley. I'm a single lady in her 50s. Mm. My background is, and I still am, a nurse, mm-hmm. But I now run a clinical training company providing complex care training to carers, nursing homes, mm-hmm. domiciliary agencies mainly, and also some first aid, but mainly the clinical training.
That's great. So we're going to be talking about your journey with the Lord Jesus and how you came to faith. But could you start with your family background, telling us a little bit how you were brought up?
I'm the only girl in a family with three brothers.
Wow.
Was brought up in Leicestershire. My mum and dad had their own cleaning business. So, we had a reasonably good upbringing.
Mm.
And my mum had had a sort of background of supposedly being converted through a Billy Graham mission, but gave up on all that in her 20s because she didn't like all the rules and regulations,
mm-hmm.
but wanted us all to try at least to go to church in our early childhood, mm-hmm. for us to make a decision ourselves whether we believed in God as a broad sort of faith.
Mm-hmm. Would she still describe herself as a Christian or not at all?
She would have described herself as a Christian, and I think I would say that she was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
She probably wasn't practicing very much in her life. She didn't like all the rules and regulations that were in those days, and she was taken along to Salvation Army by her grandmother. And then I think as years passed, when she knew that she wasn't well, I believe probably at the end of her life, she probably did mm-hmm. come back to God, but certainly didn't live a life
mm-hmm.
In a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is your dad still around?
No, my dad passed as well, but he sort of had the belief, yes, there might be a God, but we're all good enough for God.
Mm.
So definitely did not have a Christian faith.
Mm. Okay. So, can you tell us a little bit more about going to Sunday school or to church? What was your experience of that?
So I was sent along to the local Church of England, mm-hmm. As my parents felt that it was Church of England we should be going to.
Mm-hmm.
But then in searching for God and finding out what life was all about, I tried every single church in the village, mm-hmm. including my neighbour was Catholic, so I went to her church. I had friends that were Pentecostal, so I went. So I did I did the rounds.
That was a lot of churches for a village then.
There was actually. It wasn't a small town at the time, but it's now been deemed a small town.
I see. Okay.
So it had a couple of Methodist churches, quite a few Church of England's. So I did them all. I think one of the ones that I stayed in the most was the Methodist church.
Mm-hmm.
And I now very adamantly believe that the Sunday school teacher was a Christian,
mm-hmm.
although the church wasn't very alive, as we say.
So how old were you roughly at that time?
Sorry?
How old were you roughly?
At the Methodist church, I probably went between when I was about 10 to about 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd come round with a letter if you hadn't been for a while. So, and his message now, looking back, was quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Holy Spirit that opened your heart to it. I don't think I was close to it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really understand who Jesus was.
Mm, yeah. What prompted you to ask all these questions and to seek?
I had a very strange episode. When I was about 5 or 6, I remember being in the school playground,
mm-hmm.
and I think the friends at the time must have been Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and something had happened and I'd lied about something, and it's that sort of thing where you say, oh, it's just a white lie,
mm-hmm.
and that friend turned around and said, no, that's a lie, you'll go to hell for that. And that's the earliest recognition I have of sort of a fear of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then growing up, I was brought up in the 70s, 80s, and there were sort of adverts on the TV for nuclear wars and what you'll do. And I remember going to bed frequently, absolutely petrified what would happen if I die tonight.
Yes.
But I'd always accepted there was a God, whereas my brother was adamant he was an atheist. So we had, it was fuel for an argument, that there were plenty of them.
Yeah. Did your other brothers come to church with you, or did you just go on your
They were older than me, so my oldest brother's 10 years. So when I was sort of in my church going times, my oldest brother was off at university, but no, none of those two. I'm sure they were made to go as well, at the same age as me, but I can't recall them going to church.
Right. So what was the rest of your school time like, and then what did you get on to do?
Yeah, I was probably quite isolated as a youngster. Only had one or two close friends. And that's really when I went to high school. One of my friends that I made there was going to a local gospel hall. So I didn't have a lot of friendships. And there were a couple of things in my childhood that were, you know, showed that I didn't have many friends. But the friends I had were very, very good friends. I had couple of friends who were from an African background, and their dad was a Pentecostal preacher, so I spent a lot of time at their house, and with those two people as a very good friendships.
And that is how you started hearing more of the gospel as well, isn't it?
Yeah, most of the friends I had were religious in some way. My neighbour was Catholic. These two good friends were Pentecostal. So I heard snippets, but didn't really fully understand it until I met this friend in the secondary school who was going to the gospel hall.
And what happened in her life that prompted you to then seek a little bit more?
Yeah, so suddenly one day she said, oh, she was getting baptised. Would I come to her baptism? And I thought, well, this is a bit of a strange thing to be doing. I said, surely that's what happens to you when you're a baby and you get sprinkled with water. So she encouraged me to come to her baptism. So when I went to her baptism, I must have heard the gospel then, but I can't really recall understanding it, just thinking that this was a very strange thing to be doing. But it sort of made me think, well, let's see what this gospel law is about. And in fact, I know I'd gone to the gospel hall, to their holiday clubs as a child, but I went back and went to the Sunday school with her one week. So that was my first introduction to that, that I remember to that church.
Yeah, and so that's where you heard the gospel properly.
Yeah,
preached,
so I went to the Sunday school that morning, and there was only three of us in the class. It was such a small gospel hall. The actual teacher abandoned her lesson when I came in, and it was a real straight preach of the gospel. This is who God is, you know, we have a belief in God, and Jesus is his son, and we've done wrong, and if we were to walk out the door of this hall later and get run over, do you know where you'll go? And we can have a certainty that we can be with God if we believe that Christ died on the cross for the things we've done wrong, and we accept him as the Son of God to forgive us. And that was just, wow, it was just like a big light bulb moment of what I'd been searching for years suddenly got switched on.
And it's interesting how that's the exact question you were asking yourself, isn't it? It could have been phrased in many, maybe not in many different ways, but it could have been said slightly differently, but it's exactly what you were asking yourself lying in bed at night. So that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, and it just gave me the answer I'd been looking for throughout my childhood and early teens.
Yeah. So what was your response to hearing that?
I think it was either that day or a day later that I made that first prayer. I don't think I fully understood what the gospel was at that point, but I knew I needed to do something. And then it was a couple of months later that I approached, I was regularly then going to the Sunday school and the youth work. I then asked to be baptised. The same way my friend had. And although I don't think I totally fully understood it, I think when I went into baptism, I knew what the gospel was. And I wanted to follow God in that way.
So how did you then find a local church or
something? Yeah, I stayed in the gospel hall. It was a very small gospel hall. Mm-hmm. There was probably only about 20, 30 people in that gospel mm-hmm. hall. The youth group was quite small, probably about six of us in the youth group. But faithful teaching, faithful ministry, and absolutely fantastic youth minister mm-hmm. Workers. You know, we would be able to turn up at their houses and just mm-hmm. sit and watch TV together at night. They'd know when something was wrong with us, you know, and very, very faithful, even through sort of the rebellious teenage years when they had to put up with a lot of rubbish from us. but great. Yeah, very good and very close knit because it was so small.
Yeah.
We had holidays together and, you know, yeah, excellent times.
Yeah. So how old were you when you got baptized?
I was 16.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, 16.
That's great. Sorry, I should have asked before, but I realised I've never heard the word gospel hall before. So I assume it's some kind of church.
Yeah, it's a brethren assembly.
I see. Okay, thank you.
So yes.
Okay.
So,
oh, that's great. Thank you. Yeah. I learn something new every day. Yeah. That's great. And so let's just carry on with where you went to university and what that was like for you.
No, I didn't go to university.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's quite an interesting story how I got into nursing. I actually failed my A-levels.
Oh, okay.
Within that youth group, there was probably four of us women who, one was going off to nursing school that mm-hmm. summer. The other two weren't working. And there was me trying to study for my A-levels. Mm-hmm. And it's like I gave up just before my A-levels. And I actually failed all my A-levels. Mm. So was left in a major quandary. Well, what do I do now? And by the time I got my results, one of my best friends had already gone to Cardiff to start a nursing career.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and visited her in Cardiff. So I didn't go to university. It's quite a story of how I came into nursing. But I think it was 2 years later because the waiting lists were quite long. So I spent two more years at home. Before I actually started my nursing training.
Okay, great.
So the nursing training was in Cardiff, and it was a traditional training where you were in the nursing school and you were in on the hospital wards as part of the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that time of my nurse training, but I was sort of brought up in the Brethren Church. It was actually quite strict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't be seen in a pub. Mm. You certainly wouldn't go to a nightclub and you certainly didn't drink.
Yeah.
So it was my first real time of seeing Christians who did go to a pub.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a stand quite quickly with the people I was in the training college with.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew straight away I was a Christian. Mm-hmm. And they'd come and ask me to go to the pub and they knew that I would say no.
Yeah.
But actually I got more pressure to go to the pub by Christians. Mm. So that was quite interesting to see that. And so there was that conflict of, hang on, Christians are going to the pub. I've been taught that you shouldn't be doing that.
Mm.
So actually I found it harder with some Christians. Although the church that I was going to, which was Heath Evangelical, was very straight down the line as well. So I had a lot of Christian friends there.
Mm.
So yeah, those years were good. Very good churches in Cardiff and very good fellowships. So yeah.
Did that church then help you to grow in your faith, would you say? Or in the teaching?
Yeah, it did
teaching?
Help me to grow in faith, but the actual 2 years I had left at home before I went into nursing was probably the 2 years that I really... grew the most, because it is amazing that God has his, you know, his providence is really there in people's lives. If I'd have gone off to university, which is what I wanted to do at 18, I don't think I would have been anywhere in the Christian faith, because most of our youth group were what we call backslidden.
Mm-hmm.
This lady who went off to Cardiff was the only friend that I had that was carrying on with the Lord, but she introduced me to the National Young Life Campaign, which is now known as Young Life, and also the other organisation, United Beach Missions.
Mm-hmm.
And that youth group was absolutely fantastic for really grounding you in your quiet times, really getting you doing evangelism. You know, we'd be out on a Saturday lunchtime doing open airs, evangelistic events every few months, but also a time when I went on a house party up to Leeds, and I met Roger Carswell was the speaker, and he very clearly preached that weekend, and the whole weekend was on the cost of being a Christian. And there's a song that Young Life is quite well known for, and it's the Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And I remember that song, and it really got you challenged as to, are you going to follow me? There is going to be a cost to it. And my cost was that, yes, I failed my A-levels, but it gave me 2 years really being grown by that youth group. And some people there that I'm still very good friends with that really ground me in what quiet times and the walk with the Lord is about.
Yeah, and we know that usually going to university is a time when most people might move away from God and not go to church or all that kind of thing. So actually, sometimes it's a blessing to have a little bit more time.
Yeah, I think if I'd have gone to university at 18, that probably would have happened.
Yeah.
But no, he gave me 2 more years really getting grounded in my faith.
That's amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
How did you come to move down here around Kingston then? Sorry, yeah, that might be a long story as well.
I've moved around quite a bit. Most of the time I've moved, it's for new jobs. So I spent about 7 years in Cardiff, and then I moved up to Yorkshire, started working in Leeds, but lived in a place called Dewsbury. I was probably there about 7 years as well. And then I moved down to London to take up another job. And I've almost been in London since then, apart from I went over to Vancouver for 3 years.
Yes.
I'd always wanted to live in Canada for a while, so I did that from about 2008 to just beginning of 2011.
That's
great. So yeah, just God's guidance really into different situations.
Great. If we take things a little bit closer to now, I guess, what has God taught you, or what do you feel you've learned in the last few years or last year?
I wouldn't say the last few years have been the easiest. I think the hardest time was obviously when I lost my mum.
Yes.
And reconciling whether or not she was a Christian.
Yes.
And I won't know till that day.
Yeah.
I did pray with her just before she passed away. She was diagnosed with cancer in the December before she passed away. And at that time I was making plans to go to Canada. We weren't expecting her to die that quickly. And in fact, again, God's providence was the day before she died, the clocks changed and I'd missed the clock change. So normally I would speak to her on a Monday and the clocks I missed. So I got up and I phoned my mum and it's actually the last time I spoke to her. So that was, we were very close. So that was quite a hard time. And then my dad's passed away. That was difficult as well. But most recently was also my niece passed away, coming up to 4 years now, after she wasn't gotten into surgery quick enough. And she died very suddenly one night after her aorta blew. And she was only 29, so... That was probably the hardest after Mum died, because I questioned my faith a lot, and had a lot of questions. About faith, but so the last couple of years has been quite difficult working that through. Yeah, so that was a difficult time of working through what faith was really about.
Yes.
But I also remember I had breast cancer when I was 30. And I remember one of my good friends from Beach Mission saying to me, this is what faith is all about, trusting God in the difficult times.
Yeah.
And I always remember that, because obviously when I got diagnosed with breast cancer, again, you question your faith. Yeah. So all these episodes do question your faith. And so this last couple of years has been really doing that. And you do have doubts, and people who say they don't have doubts at any time, then, you know, they do, and you have to work them through. So that's been working that through the last few years, to know that my faith is still strong, and really faith is a gift from God, and keeping that gift going and trusting in God.
Yes, for sure. I guess to finish with, what advice would you give to younger Christians?
I think to let them know that everything won't be mapped out perfectly.
Mm.
And there'll be times in your lives when you think, hang on, why isn't this happening the way I want it to?
Yes.
But God's always got greater things for you. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have gone into nursing unless God hadn't taken me away that weekend to Cardiff and gone through why. And also the interview. I didn't even have an interview for nursing. I just got told I'd got a position because the tutor said, I'm not going to close God's doors. And I didn't even know whether I wanted to go into nursing, but it was, I absolutely fully enjoyed it, and it's given me a career. So don't expect things to always go to plan, but trust God when they don't.
Yes.
Because he's got better things for you than you probably have got. So,
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's really apparent, as you said earlier, when there's something that happens that is quite a big thing in your life, like your niece passing away, for example. But it's also the case in smaller things that don't matter as much.
Yes.
Things as, I don't know, what time you arrive somewhere and whether you meet someone or not, or, you know, all these little things of life, really.
It is. So, it's in the big things and the little things.
Exactly. So, and it's very easy to just forget that, because it is, he is fully in control of all of that, isn't he? Yeah. That's really encouraging to hear how he's been at work from your childhood very early on, actually, and how you heard so many things from churches.
Yes, he was involved in planning.
Yeah, exactly. And the hunger as well of you wanting to go to all these churches and really explore things. And I think that's really brilliant, actually, how he used all of these different people to bring you to today, really, and to carry on building you and growing you. That's really encouraging to see, actually.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he is faithful. We just have to keep trusting.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Mandy, for sharing your story with us. That's all for today's episode of Sister Stories, but join us again next time.